Welcome to Worldwide Athletics. I'm Khan. This is Shep. Welcome to Khan's Athens. What's going on, man? What we got?
Hey, man. Not much. You know, I know you're baseball fans, bro. Have you heard? Okay, I know we've been coaching baseball for a while, right? Been years, okay? Little League, not professionally, but Little League. So, recently we just had the MLB All-Star game happen. Mm-hmm. You know, home run contest.
Yeah.
You know, minor league, the Atlantic League.
Atlantic,
okay,
uh-huh.
They had their All Star game as well. Okay, but here's a new twist. They've been trying to introduce robotic calls for the umpire on strikes and balls. So the umpire would have a iPhone in his pocket, earpiece in. It would relay the call to him, and he would get it out. What you think of that?
That's something they've been talking about, for past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
You know, they've been talking about really trying to come to that fruition on that deal. Man, it's just some things you just have to leave alone. You know, I understand, you know, they bring the replay in. The replay is good for some stuff, you know, in the baseball. You know, they've shortened up the strike zone, you know, to help the game, you know, more action in the game. Long ball is where it's at.
Yeah.
But when you go messing with stuff like that, the strike zones, some things you just need to have and to keep a human element in the game.
True. Well, I mean, just think about it. You know, those – when you watch a baseball game now, they got this – they actually put
– Yeah, they put the box
put
in
the
there.
Box in
there.
You know, they – yeah, I remember when they wrote that out. And, like, sometimes you can see these balls and strikes, and they're on that line, and they're so – you know, there's been some times it's like it's just low and everything like that. You know, so to make sure they get the call right, you know, you got your robotic calls now.
You need human error in a game. I mean, that's just the part of the game, you know. And when you start to take that human element and, you know, get and you try to make things so crisp, and you're gonna mess a lot of things up. From what I'm speaking, that's gonna take away a lot of strategy. You know, it's going to take away a lot. Oh, it's going to take away a lot from the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You got.
And that's what I want to ask you. So, you know, as a pitcher, you know, I'm a Cubs fan. So my boy John Lester, he loves painting that edge there. And I've watched games where he's really getting closer. You know, he's trying to find that spot, you know, and he just can't find it. So do you think it's a better. If it was a robotic, do you think the pitchers would benefit from it because now they know exactly where it's at, or would it benefit the batter?
That's going to benefit the batter to me. The batter's going to know that he only has so much to work with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 17 inches. Okay? You've got from here to, you know, above the knee.
Yeah.
You know, or a little bit below, whatever – case may be they want that. That's he knows that's where that ball has got to be now. He knows the batter knows it's got to be in here and it's got to be within there to be a strike.
So with that being said, do you think the life expectancy of a pitcher would decrease? Do you think John Lester would be as far in his career with that being happened?
I don't think that actually is the case with that life expectancy, but I do think that their productivity, the level that he's at, maybe that gets touched.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I said, he works the corners. You know, he that's what he does. He's not a power pitcher. Okay,
true.
He works the corners. He's going to work his breaking ball. You know, and that he's going to get you to chase stuff. You know,
how about a Greg Maddux?
That's a little different with Greg. I mean, he was just a magician with the ball in his hand. Okay. I don't think there's some pitchers that I just don't think the strike zone even really matters with, you know, him being one of them. The things that he did with the ball was just, I mean, you really haven't seen much of it. I mean, you had Pedro Martinez's circle change. You know, you have Mariano Rivera's cutter. Mm-hmm. You know, you had Schilling's changeup. But Maddux, you know, when he threw that flipping, when he throws his curve, and, you know, throws a slide. It's the thing, and then he'll mess you up with the two seam, you know, and then he'll drop in with his changeup, and it's breaking 12, 14 inches, you know. I don't know. Is it certain pitchers are gonna throw pitches at you and make you look stupid no matter what is gonna happen?
True.
But true. Like with these pitchers nowadays, it's the dawn of the power pitcher right now in the league. There's so many starting pitchers that are throwing 95, 96, 97 miles an hour. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The amount of starting pitchers that's, you know, it was back in the days, every once in a while you'll see a starter that's, you know, that's going to throw that hard. You know, and then you'll have your bullpen guy come in there that's going to throw that. But now you got starters, I mean, Noah Syndergaard, Jake DeGrom.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Max Scherzer. You know, all of those, they're mid to high 90s. Fastballs.
Sure, he grunts when he pitches. I don't think I've ever noticed that.
Yeah,
but he looks mean when he throws.
But like I said, with them going to that, I mean, it's just going to take away a little bit from the game in my point of view. Like I said, the batters, you know, they would have to learn how that umpire is calling the game. You know, they have to get a good rapport with that umpire to see where those balls are coming, see where those strikes are coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and with the pitcher, say if he likes to work outside, and the umpire, that's where his strike zone is outside. You know, that's just going to take away from the human element of the game.
Well, looking at it, they said that it went pretty good. Really didn't notice too much of a difference. A couple of batters did notice that there really wasn't too much of a delay in the call, but they still noticed that there was, you know, that
split little wait. Second, yeah.
So, you know.
Oh, just wait till if it gets to the MLB. Just wait till a playoff game comes. Then we'll see.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Then we'll see.
You know. But like I said, this is something MLB partnered with the Atlantic League. I think they'll be doing this for 3 years, where a lot of different elements they're going to test for you know, the state of baseball as far as the future. Like I said, they rolled this out back in March, and they've already been working on. Oh, they've been working on banning the shift.
That, you know, and that's like splitting hairs. Also, you know.
I mean,
it takes away from the. It's a strategic deal that, yeah, if I got a lefty coming up and he's pulling 45-50% of the time to right, yeah, they're gonna shift over.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, don't get mad if he flipping, you know, lays a bunt to the left side of the field. That's your fault. You shifted, you know. But now they take that out the game. I don't, you know, that's just, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know.
B- with the shift, you know, I saw it really upset me when, you know, my team is playing and my boy's up the bat and they know exactly where he's going to hit and he actually hits it there. That really, you know,
yeah.
Like, get back to your spot. Let that ball go through. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, come on, man.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, it's, you know, he's a professional hitter, so, you know, I would think they would adjust from that. But
yeah, you would think so, you know, but like I said, you know, you got someone that's, you know, pulling to their hit side 40%, 45% of the time, you know. Yeah, the team, they're going to flip and shift over, and that's going to, you know.
Another thing that they're trying, they're going to probably roll out here soon, is stealing first base.
That there, I have no idea why they even went there with that. That doesn't even sound right.
Well, you know? I mean, you know, strategy-wise, you know, you could look at it as, you know, you have a, you know, your speed runners, you need to get a bat on base, you know, low percentage hitter, you know, that ball drops, you know, because it's the catcher has to catch the ball. The ball just cannot be caught safely. If it drops out of his glove or gets past the catcher, you have the ability to steal first base on any pitch count. Normally it's a drop third strike.
Yeah.
You know, and I just thought about it. Wow, what would they roll that into Little League?
You would never have a hit in Little League for one. I mean, with the average 10U team, you know, there's every batter. There's going to be a high ball somewhere, you know. Them trying to implement this to them to be able to go off of any wild pitch, any drop pitch. I mean, like. You're not going to see flipping Luke Voit, you know, a first baseman, ball gets bad. You're not going to see him running the first off.
Yeah.
No, he wants to hit the ball.
Yep.
Okay, you got the guys that want to hit the ball, and they say you got your few speedsters out there. That might test that. That might test that rule. But stuff like that, leave that alone. Come on, leave that alone.
Even if they do roll it out and it does stick, I don't think it'll have that big of an impact.
Hope it wouldn't.
You would see a couple of batters here and there, but you really don't see, you know. I mean, one thing I do know is when the pitcher has an advantage on the batter as far as a hitting count, you know, they may drop a slider or a curveball in the dirt to force him to swing, but that's normally on a two-strike pitch anyway. So, you know, if he gets that, but the batter sees it, you know, he can still take off without swinging, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's going to be different.
And then, like I said, again, like you just pointed out, that, you know, that could take away a little bit from a strategy. You know, someone on a 0-2 count, 1-2 count, you know, pitcher knows, hey, I'm going to dump one in the dirt, you know. You know, it's a 1-1 count. I'm gonna try to dump one on dirt on him, you know, because we know he likes to swing at breaking balls. So let's give him a breaking ball. Well, if you got someone that, you know, has a real big breaking ball, not good consistency on it, you know, maybe they're going to stop throwing that and go to another pitch, you know.
Well, I hope they're able to televise some of these games so I can see how it actually goes.
I don't know. They're just
changing
trying,
your game, bro.
They're just trying. And, you know, I know they want to make baseball more exciting. Listen, the game has already gotten exciting enough. Okay, you reduce the strike zone. Okay, we got all this young talent that's just hit the league within the last 7-8 years. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, the game is already getting exciting. You know, for baseball, true baseball fans, don't mess it up. Don't mess it up.
I hear you. Try to keep it as much the same as possible. So what you got on the basketball? What you been following all what's going on there?
You know me, okay? You know me. I grew up I grew up a basketball fan. NBA. Mm-hmm. Love. Mm-hmm. You know, that I grew up on it. I don't watch the NBA. I don't watch the NBA anymore. I haven't watched the NBA for, oh, man, maybe 5-6 years, you know, maybe longer, tell you the truth, you know. But I do keep up with it. I try to stay current, and I try to keep – I just can't watch it.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me. I just can't watch the NBA. You know, it's just a different game now, you know. We can go into – that's a whole nother episode. But so you got the trade that happened this past week, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have Westbrook – going to Houston for CP3, and then, if I'm not mistaken, I think Oklahoma City dropped CP3 off somewhere else.
I know they were in talks in doing that. I don't know if they actually got any takers, but that's where it's heading.
So you got Westbrook, and Westbrook is a good flipping player, and that's an understatement. Okay, Westbrook is a flipping talent. Okay, going to Houston with Harden. You hear what I said?
Yeah.
He's in Houston with Harden. Who – are they going to change the rules now and put two basketballs out on the court?
I don't think so. And ironic thing, they played together before. And
they did play together before.
Didn't they?
In OKC.
Kind of push each other away,
and that's what happened. And and that OKC team, if they would have stayed together,
bro,
they would have won some championships.
They should have won that one.
You know, they were young,
mm-hmm.
and they could have stuck. That's another show. Yeah. But you got Westbrook over there to Houston. You got two guys that to me needs the ball in their hands. You know, they don't know how to work without the ball in their hands. How is this going to equate into something positive?
I don't know. I see a lot coming out of it. You know, the questions. Is there enough? You know, shots. You know, taken by each player. You know, but I'm gonna give them benefit of doubt. I think they both aged well. You know, got more mature. You know, and. I think they might be able to work it. I mean, you got the coach, was it Westfall, or who's the coach down there? D'Antoni?
Is it D'Antoni? Is he with Houston?
I think it's D'Antoni.
Okay.
So he might be able to go ahead and find a way for it to work. You know, he's always been an innovator, you know.
Yeah.
You know, I think he moved Stoudemire. I heard Stoudemire was speaking the other day. And said that he moved Stoudemire from being a power forward to a center. I mean, he's fast. He would be faster as center, you know. So, you know, that's a move that he does and stuff like that. So he might see something in having him there and find a way to get that ball shared around.
Okay. Listen. And. Both of those guys, you know, not to take away from their game, both of those guys facilitate the ball.
Yeah.
You know, they do. I mean, flipping Westbrook averages triple-double.
Yeah, triple-double.
Okay, he averages
triple. So he passes. I mean, he will pass it.
He passes the rock. You know, he gets, you know, and Harden, you know, hits a sister up there also. You know, he's just not, he's, you know, not a four-assisted guy. A game, you know, he's up at the 7, you know, maybe 8 assists a game type of guy, if I'm not mistaken. Both of them can facilitate, but both of them needs the ball in their hands to start the offense. They want the ball in their hand to start. So which one is going to
take the last
concede?
Shot?
Concede?
Who's taking the last shot?
I'm not even going into that. Okay, I'm just trying to get the ball up the court right now. I mean, who's going to? There was a flipping photo that I saw, okay, of Harden and Westbrook You know, they both, you know, got the Houston jersey on. Flipping Westbrook is D'ing up Harden, though. Harden's got the ball, and Westbrook was D'ing up Harden. They both on the same. So who is going to
give the ball?
Yeah, who's? I mean, I might watch a couple minutes of a game just to see what happens.
It's going to be drama filled.
just to see what happens. They have some other trades that had happened before that with Kawhi Leonard going to the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
With him and Paul George. That could be something.
Yeah, I think that's going to be pretty special. You know, OKC just doing the flag. You know, they're blowing their operation up, but they got a lot of draft picks out of it. Yeah, Paul George and Kawhi, you know, out there in the Clippers and, you know, talking to town in L.A., who's king?
And I'll tell you one thing. There's a few players in the league right now that, you know, that I say, you know, they could play in a different era. You know, Westbrook, I think, is one of them. I think he's just tough.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. I think he could play, you know, back in the 90s with those guys, mm-hmm. you know. Kawhi Leonard, he's another one.
Yes.
I think, I mean, him coming out of college and going to San Antonio, that was perfect for that guy because he already had the talent. But they needed to see because his ceiling was still so high.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So his ceiling was pushed up with Popovich down there in San Antonio. And you know, he grew big time as a player. So he goes to Toronto. Okay, he's getting paid superstar money in Toronto for the year. He's getting paid superstar money. Okay, this kid is so flipping humble and weird, you know, that I don't think that he really realizes that he's a superstar. You know, because he doesn't, you know, act like a kid drives like a 98 Blazer or something like that. Has a $130,000 house, from what I hear. You know, he's, you know, just a average.
Did you hear that one where, like, they think the way he leaves the house, he's like, all right, y'all, I'm going to work. I'll be back.
Yeah. And nobody, you know, they don't know what – yeah, okay,
all see right, ya. See you when you get back.
Yeah, it's just a regular
– around the dinner table. How was work today?
Yeah, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, we had some guys that was, you know, a little bit off the deep end, but everything was okay.
Yeah.
You know, he is so flipping humbled of a young man, you know.
His accomplishments, man. Like I said, he won a championship out in San Antonio, got an MVP there, goes to Toronto one year. Takes Toronto to a championship, bro.
And wins the MVP.
Wins it for Toronto. Like who else is on that team?
Fred VanVleet.
Wichita.
VanVleet.
That's right. Rapping. Wichita.
Rapping. But like I said, him and Paul George going there to the Clippers.
That's gonna be,
you know, I think Paul George is a very, very good player. I think they're gonna, you know, mm-hmm. they're gonna do big things with that team. I think
Paul George is a good defender too. So to have both of them two defending,
yeah, they're both long, rangy type guys. Yeah, and you have Anthony Davis teaming up with LeBron.
That's gonna be a little interesting. I mean, you got, like I said, with the Clippers doing what they did, I think they're still gonna outshine the Lakers. I think the Lakers are trying to get something back.
What the heck? They flipping gave everybody for Anthony Davis.
They don't have anybody else on the team yet.
Now, the one thing that they did keep Kuzma. They did keep Kuzma. That's good. And there's another guy. I don't know if he's a foreigner, white guy. Can't remember his name, but he's from what I hear, he's pretty flipping good young player. So they still got some pieces on that on that team, but it's like they gave up a lot to get Anthony Davis, which Anthony Davis is, Anthony Davis, but still, you know, that's they give up a lot. Give up a lot. You know, we'll see what New Orleans does. Yeah.
Well, they did get, I forgot about it, they did get DeMarcus Cousins.
That's
for
right.
a year,
that's,
and Danny Green.
Okay.
So, I mean, they're filling yeah. out.
Okay.
Did you know JaVale McGee is on that team, bro?
JaVale, he's still in the league.
I guess so. Okay.
That listen, like, guys, hey, I don't watch NBA anymore. You know, feel free to chime in, whatever you think. Hey, I don't watch NBA. I do. I try to follow the best I can, but, hey, that's y'all's stuff. You know, I'm college basketball. So.
College basketball.
But, yeah, crazy stuff that's just been happening, like I said, with baseball. And, you know, All-Star, you know, was talking about the All-Star game came around with the Home Run Derby. Mm-hmm. And it was some new faces, fresh faces in it. Pete Alonso from the Mets.
Oh, yeah.
From the Mets. This young kid, I think he's 23, 24 years old, got power out of his world. I mean, he was hitting bombs. And then my guy, Ronald, from the Braves, mm-hmm. goes bonkers in the first round. Hits like 25. He went on like a 12 or 13 in a row. You know, I mean, just effortless swing. I think Ronald Acuna's he's going to be
– his rookie was last year, right?
He was a rookie last year. He was the NL Rookie of the Year.
Man. I remember when he first came in.
This guy, he's got – the complete package, you know, he still needs to work on defense, but, you know, he's gotten a lot of opportunities in center field mm-hmm. this year with the injury to Inciarte and being sent back down. And then we brought up, for the Braves I'm talking about, then we brought up Austin Riley, who's been waiting to come up, you know, get his shot to come up, and he's come with a big-time vengeance. And do not give that kid something in the middle of the plate because it's gone. It's gone. And he's just not a power hitter. This guy, he spreads the ball around. If you try, his one thing is sliders, okay? You throw a slider outside, he's gonna swing. Okay, he's going to swing. If you got a good slider, you know, got two strikes on him, he's going to see a slider. You know, that's just he's going to see a slider. He's going to swing, and you know, so the MLB pitchers, they're you know, they kind of caught up with him on that aspect. Mm-hmm. They're stopping, they're not coming in on him because he pulls like ain't nothing, you know, nothing out of his. He pulls that ball on the inside. He hits anything high. He can hit anything low, but that outside corner, he has the trouble with. But the Braves, you know. The Braves this year, I mean, we talked about Ozzy Albies. You know, they're so young, but they got a mixture of veterans on that team as well. You know, that's really helping them bolster this flipping six and a half game lead that they got right now that came yeah. into the All-Star break.
Yeah. But I know one thing about watching baseball this year dates my age is seeing these younger players coming up who I watched their dads play.
Yeah, Tatis Jr.
Yes, yeah. Guerrero Jr. Yeah.
And Biggio both.
Biggio.
They both play on Toronto
yep.
together.
Yep, Biggio. Yes, yes.
Vlad and Biggio Juniors, you know.
It's insane.
On Toronto, and they, like I said, you got Tatis out there, Tatis Jr., you know. Yeah, it's crazy. And I remember at the All-Star game, I think it was in like 2003, something like that, watching Vlad bring out little Vlad Jr. to the
yeah.
field. He was like
yeah.
he was
yeah.
like that tall. I remember watching that game. That was crazy. Now that kid's in the flipping major leagues and yeah, got a swing just like his daddy.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, exactly yeah. like his daddy, you know. Probably not the, you know, pure athlete that his dad was. You know, his dad had, you know, really good speed, but loved to swing at everything. He loves to swing at everything. But hey, he catch a hold of one.
Yeah.
Curtains. But we had a good week of sports.
Mm-hmm.
This past week, like I said, the baseball All-Star game, home run derby, had all the big trades in the NBA and this and that. Football coming around the corner.
I'll mention I watched soccer this week.
You watch what?
I watched soccer.
What's that?
Bro, they had the World Cup, Women's World Cup.
Women's World Cup. I do know the Women's World Cup.
Yeah. So they went there, did handle business, and the men's played the CONCACAF, whatever, versus Mexico. I think it was the final. You know, and I watched that game, and they lost 1-0, but I thought they did pretty good in that game. You know, the things that Mexico could have did, and, you know, they just missed a few opportunities on scoring. And as you know, in soccer, you don't get too many of those. But, yeah, this week's been real good with sports.
It has been. So, like I said, we've got more to come on Con's Essence. Like I said, you guys feel free to like it, subscribe to it, drop a comment down on there. Give me an email shout. You know, we'll get back to you. I think it was pretty good. Ready to do this?
You're done?
Done.
Got it.
Done. I'm Con. That's Shep. We'll see you later. Out.